Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you a father? Yeah, I think we have a few here. Father, who's been following you? It's a grave responsibility to be a Christian father. Martin Luther noted this when he began his small catechism with the words, "As the head of the family should teach the Christian truths in a simple way to the household. Any instruction done by others, the teachers in the Lutheran day school, in Sunday school, the pastor, the Sunday school teachers, they are done in loco parentis, in the place of the parent." The scriptures have much to say about fathers, but the biblical implications of being a Christian father apply also to parents, to mothers, to grandparents. They apply also to older brothers and sisters, because they are looked up to also. They apply to all who are being watched, to all who have something, someone following them, whether they be leaders, teachers, managers in business, and all who really exercise any kind of authority. In fact, it probably is safe to say that whatever your situation in life, whether it's mother, father, a single person, someone is following you. Listen to what God's word tells us in Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Our lives are so focused on God, are to be focused on God instead of ourselves. That's the basic problem. We're looking in the wrong direction. The obligation that we have to turn ourselves and those following us in the right direction is ongoing. God continues in Deuteronomy, "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children, and talk to them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up," in verses 6 and 7. God doesn't mean that you should just set aside 1 hour of so-called quality time with a child, and the rest of the time someone else, or perhaps even no one, needs to be in charge. That leads to the situation where a little girl asks her father, "Daddy, may I make an appointment with you to play with you on Wednesday?" Charles Swindoll recalls the time when he was caught in the undertow of too many commitments in too few days. He was soon snapping at his wife and his children, gulping down his food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated and unexpected interruptions throughout the day. Soon things around his home started reflecting the pattern of his hurry-up style. The pace had become unbearable. Swindoll recalls that one evening after supper, when his younger daughter, Colleen, wanted to tell him something important that had happened to her at school that day, she hurriedly began, "Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast." Swindoll says he suddenly realized her frustration and answered, "Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." He says he will never forget her answer. "Then listen slowly." Deuteronomy 6:8 and 9 stresses our need to follow the commandments of God. We just heard it. "Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Down to the present day, Jewish people have literally done that with phylacteries to tie on their arms and foreheads in prayer, and mezuzah to attach to their door frames. God here is probably using a metaphorical language that is not to be understood literally, but it is to be understood spiritually and followed. The point is that our faith is a visual matter. What visible symbols do you have in your home? A cross? A picture of Christ? Your child's baptismal banner? Christian art of some kind? Maybe even a prayer niche with a votive shelf and a kneeler. In the New Testament, the first churches were house churches that gathered in the homes of members. A seminarian told me once that his 4-year-old son once walked into a friend's home and said, "Oh, Daddy, this is a church house just like ours." Is yours a church house? A foreign student had been in the home of a Christian girlfriend over the Christmas vacation. Before this international student was to return home, the mother of her girlfriend asked her if she had enjoyed her stay in their home. To this, the young lady, not a Christian, replied, "Yes, I enjoyed my stay very much. But one thing puzzles me. You do not have a God shelf in your home." In my country, everybody has a God shelf in their house. Do you worship God only on Sunday? That is an incisive question. Many Christians have few visible reminders in their homes of the Christian faith, our Lord and Savior, and on His cross. This is a training that our children is ongoing. The father is to remind his children repeatedly the mighty acts of God. And that is what we do on account of His blessings on us today. So the scriptural instructions are clear. These commandments and promises from Deuteronomy are summarized in Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn away from it." And again in Ephesians 6, verse 4. "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Christian fathers, we need to be reminded again and again of the grave responsibility we have. There was a 6th grade girl who brought home an assignment asking her to make detailed comments on 2 chapters of Scripture. It took her father 2 hours to help her, but this assignment vividly reminded him again that he was ultimately responsible for her Christian training. Do you spend time in Christian training of your child? One parent did not. She was wealthy and hated being tied down to her chronically ill 16-year-old daughter. So she traveled overseas frequently. One day, the daughter received from her mother a beautiful Italian vase, or is it vase? The nurse, handing it to her, noted how thoughtful the mother had been to make sure it arrived right on her daughter's birthday. But the girl ignored the vase and said, "Take it away, take it away. Oh, mother, mother, do not send me anything more. No books, no flowers, no vases, no pictures. Send me no more. I want you. You." God says to us fathers, "I want you." Not just promises, not just things, but you. "My son, give me your heart." And your child wants you, not just promises, not just things, but you. All your heart means being a father with all your heart. It means bringing your child up as a Christian. It means keeping the promise that you made at holy baptism that your child will be brought up in the true knowledge and worship of God, be taught the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer. It means that you place in your child's hands the Scriptures. And it means that you bring no child, that you bring your child to church faithfully and at the appropriate age to the Lord's table regularly. In all of this, you point your child to Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who suffered and died on the cross for our sins and who rose again, assuring us of eternal life through faith in him. It means that you as a father will exemplify all these truths. It does so mean spending time with your child. A boy ran away from home and headed for a large city. He left a note saying that he had appreciated the presents his parents had given him over the years. But what he really wanted was for them to listen to him. They were always too busy. He concluded, "If anybody asks you where I am, tell them I've gone looking for somebody with time, because I've got a lot of things I want to talk about." Do you take time to talk and listen to your child? Do you raise your child as if nothing else is more important than the child's spiritual future? You and I often fail in our obligation as fathers, as parents, as grandparents, as older brothers and sisters, as people in position of leadership and authority. And for that, we need to repent, to turn, to change. The good news is that God does forgive. His gracious mercy also helps you to be the loving parent he has called you to be. He himself is our Father. Did you think this morning when you got up, today is our Father's Day, our Heavenly Father? Listen to Luther's explanation on the first article of the Creed, and as you are to teach it in a simple way to your household. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? You want to finish it with me? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. And all this he does out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all that, it is my duty to thank and to praise, to serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All this our Heavenly Father has done and still does for us. Most important of all, he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, into death on the cross. There Christ paid for all of our sins. All of our sins as fathers, as parents, as an example of the Christian life to those who observe and follow us. He forgives us just as surely as Christ is risen from the dead. God gives us, who have been baptized into Christ, the will and the power, the mind of Christ, and the resurrection life of Christ, to be what he wants us to be for the sake of all who follow us. May God be with you in this, our Father's Day. Amen. Shall we rise for the prayers? Thank you.